Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Van for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, March the 27th, and really looking forward to tonight's show. Now, coming up at 8:40, we're going to have a returning guest coming back to Van for Racing Radio after a really big weekend. Starting at Kern County Raceway on Thursday night, then Irwindale Event Center on Saturday for a doubleheader. Todd Gilliland won all three races. That also gave him a big bonus of $10,000 for the Napa Auto Parts Challenge, the Napa Challenge 500, I think is what they called it. And he was the big winner for that special promotion. So we've talked to Todd before. He started out really strong last year. He's coming back strong, I guess, again this year with three big race wins just this weekend. We'll talk to him about that starting at 8:40 p.m. Eastern time. Now, joining me shortly will be our co-host, Sal Segala. He and I will give you some of our highlights from the weekend of racing. And, you know, he was at Kern County Raceway and the Irwindale Event Center this weekend to see some of that great racing from the NASCAR Can-Am West. What do you think, Sal? Pretty big weekend out there.
Yeah, it was. Actually, we had, because we had Kern on Thursday. We had Twins on Saturday at Irwindale.
And then you went to Fontana.
Yeah, then I did Fontana partly Friday, not too much, but all day Sunday.
Okay, fantastic.
So it was a really good weekend of racing. A lot of action, even with the SRL race that ran with the Can-Am West race on Saturday at Irwindale. It was just, you really got to take your hat off, to the winners, get all the way from Todd Gilliland to Kyle Larson to Bobby Hodges, who I don't know how he got around Derek Thorne on Saturday, Willie Allen, but that win on Sunday with Kyle Larson, boy, that was really that's really a special moment.
Well, and I was going to ask you what your highlight of the weekend is. That sounds like that was it.
Yeah, actually there was a lot of highlights. I think one of the biggest highlights had to be see Todd Gilliland win three races in a row. And actually, he's out of 19 starts in the Can-Am West Series, he has 10 wins. So he has more.
Isn't that incredible?
He's over 50% on as far as winning races in the Can-Am West Series as a start. It is amazing. Saturday night he put on Thursday night's race. Well, we'll talk to Todd more about that. But yeah, my highlight it was a toss up between that and Kyle Larson with the Cup win on Sunday.
Okay. The Cup win on Sunday was pretty exciting. We saw Kyle Larson not only win for the first time in the it's not his first win, but the first time at Auto Club Speedway. We saw him win on Sunday, but he won the NASCAR Xfinity race the day before, also at Auto Club Speedway. So that was a sweep for him, two consecutive races, two consecutive wins.
Yeah, and actually the both wins they're pretty dominating. His win on Sunday, the only caution we had was early in the day. That was I can't remember who it was offhand. I'm driving to work right now, but anyways, he came back and And
well, there was
Denny
Hamlin in there. Brad Keselowski came back from an early, setback.
Yeah, he got into it, mess up his rear fender, and they fixed it, and you know, do a couple of yellows or a couple of coming in a couple of times, and I didn't think he was gonna have the finish that he had. But what about that Clint Bowyer finishing third too? That's another. I mean, there was a lot of action this weekend. Clint Bowyer finishing third, and he was in the media center when I was in there, and he was just ecstatic about it. But he didn't know where Kyle Larson came from either. Nobody knew.
Kyle Larson or Brad Keselowski?
Kyle Larson and Brad Keselowski, and even himself. He was even surprised at himself.
Well, I'll tell you what. Can I just say that I love the stage racing. I think it has made the racing a lot more exciting and fun to watch. And it was great to see Kyle Larson and Martin Truex Jr. both come up with stage wins as well. Stage bonus points.
Yeah,
I should say.
And actually, with the way that race went, it's a good thing they had stage racing. The race in itself, from my vantage point against the fence, it wasn't what the last few have been like. So it was not really one of the barn burners. But with the stages, at least it brought out the yellows, to give the drivers a chance to get a little bit closer to each other and do some racing. But yeah, that's basically where I was with the. But I guess from the fans' point of view, after watching a little bit of the replay, there was passing all around the track. But the stage racing has made it. It's added a different dimension as far as the points are concerned.
It really has. It really has. Brad Keselowski didn't win any of the stages, didn't get any stage points, but he still finished second. So he did gain some points for his track position at the end of the race. But it makes a difference when you're not in those stage wins. So it really was good to see that play out this weekend. Now, Sal, I want to get into, before our guest arrives, the races this weekend at Kern County Raceway. Let's start with that because that was the second race of the Napa 500 Challenge for the K&N West drivers. And Chris Eggleston won the first race at Tucson, so a lot of people were wondering if he was going to come home with that win from Kern County.
Yeah, it was a good race. You know what? And Tosh should have won that race, but he had a fuel.
Todd did win that race. Oh, you mean the Tucson race?
No, I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't even know why I'm going back to the Tucson race. The Tucson race. Todd was one position from picking up the $100,000.
Right.
From picking up the $100,000 thing. What costed him was a fuel pump problem at Tucson. But then when he came to Kern, him and Chris Eggleston, they really put on a really good battle. I mean, it was a really good battle. It was another clean race. When you see this race, there was no major incidents. And you know what? Everybody raced clean. And, Todd came out the victor over there.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic because it was good clean racing, good hard racing. And a lot of these drivers, Todd Gilliland in particular, I think it was a near-perfect weekend for him. With three poles and three wins.
Yeah, you know what? And it made for a long Thursday because Wednesday we got our practice got rained out. So since they didn't practice on Wednesday, they went ahead and let them come in 2.5 hours early on Thursday to practice. So
instead
of starting practice at 10:30 with the event, they started at 8:00 Thursday morning.
Okay. So that was a long day for everybody. Now on let's go now to the last race at Irwindale Speedway. I know we're skipping a couple here, but we'll talk to Todd about it when he comes on. That race, he pretty much dominated. I think Eggleston took the lead for maybe 40 feet before Gilliland took the lead back. What did you think of the race on Saturday night, the final race?
You know what, the two final races, the first race was really, it was a good race. You know, there's a lot of battling going on around the track. You know, of course, you know, a couple drivers, you know, got their cars messed up. You know, a couple of them went to backup cars. I think one or two of them didn't even come back to race because they didn't have nothing left for the end of running the race. But there's a lot of, it was a good battle between Todd and Chris again, Chris. Todd came out the victor. The second race was basically the Todd Gilliland Invitational.
Yeah, he pretty much dominated that race. As I mentioned, it seemed like there was just one time that Chris Eggleston grabbed the lead as the race was winding down, but Todd Gilliland took that lead back before they got to turn three, and he was sailing from there on out.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, the race at going back to Kern, Michael Self, he just dominated the first half of that race. I mean, there was nobody that had anything for Michael Self. He jumped out and he was gone. But I think, I don't know what happened, if they made a bad change during the halfway break or, you know, if he just burned up a lot of his stuff. You know, Todd was just, you know, patient. But Michael Self really, really was impressive, you know, and it's, you know, it wasn't his first Canon Westark, because we know, you know, a few years ago he raced for Golden Gate Racing, which was an RCR team, and he did win, you know, a few races. Actually, he's the only driver, I think, to win the Iowa Combined.
That's right. That's right. I remember that. That was a couple years ago. But Sal, our guest is here now, Todd Gilliland, who won three consecutive races, won three consecutive poles, had a perfect weekend, starting with Thursday night at Kern County Raceway and concluding with the second twin race at Irwindale Speedway on Saturday night. Todd Gilliland, have you come down from cloud nine yet? You had a great start here.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I've quite come down from it yet, but you know, what a great way to start off the season and build momentum with everyone on my team.
Well, congratulations to you for a fantastic three races here at Kern County Raceway and Irwindale Event Center. Talk a little bit about your mindset going into Kern County Raceway, because you came in second at Tucson, the first leg of the Napa 500 Challenge. And, you know, you're coming into Kern County, probably just a little disappointed you didn't win at Tucson. What was your mindset coming into Kern County?
Well, I knew we had our stuff really well prepared, and I knew I was going to have a really fast Napa Auto Parts Toyota Camry to be able to drive, and you know, it's always built a lot of confidence in the driver as well as the team, because they always know what kind of work they put into it, and you know, it was just really nice to be able to show them what hard work really does. But you know, I'd say I was pretty confident going in there because, you know, all the stuff I just mentioned, all the hard work.
Okay, so, you know, that confidence really came through with your three consecutive wins. Now, I know Sal Segal is here. He has some questions for you as well, so I'm going to pass the baton over to him, Todd.
Hey, Todd, once again, congratulations on the you know, the sweeping the last three races, especially Irwindale, you know. Irwindale has a special place, you know, in you know, in your family's heart, because that was actually, you know, the track that your dad grew up on.
Yeah, for sure. We had so much family go out to there to the Irwindale Speedway. It was very special to win out in front of them. It was really special one time last year, and now to do it two times in one night, man, it couldn't have been a better night.
Yeah, you know what? It was actually going into the second. The first race was a good one. The second one, it seemed like it was kind of a walk in the park. You know, you guys were set up. You guys were dialed in. You know, your car was on a rail, and it seemed like nobody had anything for you.
Yeah, we tried to save our stuff a little bit in the first race, and then we figured we could go a little bit harder the second race, and we really didn't want to give up the lead. It's a little bit harder to pass it at the Irwindale Speedway than it looks like, and my crew chief Chris Lawson made some really, really great adjustments, and you know, that that allowed us to stay in the lead the whole race and really show the field what we had.
You know, actually, Todd, going back to the Kern race, you know, we had the rain out on Wednesday night, you know, so there was no practice, you know, so NASCAR, you know, or the track said, you know what, you can come in 2.5 hours early, you know, and, you know, come out, you know, and practice, you know, then NASCAR will come in at 10:30, then we'll start the regular program. How beneficial was it to practice, you know, the day of the race with the, you know, instead of, you know, the night before?
I'd say it was beneficial to have practice, but that place changes so much with heat. I think we slowed down 4 or 5 tenths just from the first practice to the second practice, and that was everyone. So it was tough. It was, I'd say the morning session was probably the closest practice we had to race time, and that's probably one of the toughest things that about the whole weekend was just trying not to tune ourselves out just based off weather. But NASCAR did a great job getting all that stuff in.
Oh, awesome. And with that, you know, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Todd. I want to get, you mentioned Chris Lawson was your crew chief this weekend. Let's talk about some of the other people behind the scenes that supported your success here.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't do it without, every team member on my Bill McNally Racing team, Joe Draper, Vihar Patel, Victor, man, everyone, even Terry, our truck driver, he drove all the way out there from the East Coast with two new cars, and couldn't do without all of them. A bunch of the guys from Napa were out at Kern, and then a lot of Toyota representatives were out at Irwindale. So it was a great showing for the sponsors and the team, and definitely couldn't do without all of them.
Okay, and it does take a team to have the kind of success that you had this weekend. Now, looking ahead, though, you're now leading the point standings after four starts this season. Chris Eggleston, your teammate, is right behind you, though. And it seems like he's been your toughest competition so far. Are there any other drivers that you think are going to be competitive with you in the upcoming races? Because your next race is May 13th.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure everyone's going to be, right up there in the front, and hopefully we have some more battles. Me and Chris Eggleston, my teammate, have really battled at the end of these races, and that's made the victory even more special. And, I hope that my teammate Derek Krause, he's been doing an amazing job, and I'm sure he'll be up there really soon, and I'm sure he'll get a win before the race season's over. And everyone's going to be stepping up their game as it enters the season to really see who the toughest teams are keeping up with all their equipment.
Absolutely. And you've got a couple of females that are pretty strong racers competing in the West this season as well, with Julia Landauer. She was your teammate last year. She's racing for another team this year. And Nicole Behar is racing the full season this year. Both of them had some good finishes this week as well.
Yeah, for sure. They both had some very strong runs out there on the West Coast, and really tough all year.
Okay. Is there anybody else you want to make sure you shout out, Todd, before we pass the baton back to Sal?
Like I said, Napa, Toyota, Bill McNally, too, for just giving me this opportunity to be able to drive one of his really fast race cars.
Okay. And that $10,000 bonus that you got for being in the top three for the first four races, how much of that are you going to get? Because I think some of that goes back to the team, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I need to negotiate with Bill a little bit on that one, but we haven't even talked about it, really.
That sounds like a plan there, Todd. Okay, Sal, back to you.
Todd, we came out of Thursday night, you know what, you got the win, you know what, hung around, waited till, car passed tech, then you made the short drive to Irwindale, Friday, you know, Thursday night, you know, Friday, you know, I think you guys got a little bit of practice in on Friday. Then Saturday comes, you know, you get your practice, the two practices in, you get the qualifying in. How tough is it to race two races in one night like that?
It's really tough, especially for the first time that anyone's done it in the Canon Pro Series. It's, you know, there's a lot of unknowns going into that weekend, and you know, we had cars fully prepared, ready to go in case something happened in the first race, and luckily we didn't have to use it in our cars really fast, but it was just a lot of hard work on our team to just be prepared for that, and you know, luckily no one really got too tore up, so I'd say it went really smooth, and I look forward to doing some more of those out on the East Coast.
You know, and actually on Thursday night, you know, the race starts and Michael Self gets out to a commanding lead, and it seemed like he nailed every restart. You know, he was on top of it, you know, and you know, you guys just kind of, you know, let the race play out. You know what, didn't really, you know, push the issue, you know, until, you know, until you guys came to the break. What adjustments did you guys make at the break on Thursday night that, you know, that was able, you know, to put you up into the lead and eventually get the win?
We didn't make any adjustments at halfway. We were just really saving our tires the first half, and we saw a lot of tire wear in practice, and we knew that was something that was going to be very important. And we fell back to third or fourth there for a few laps, and then, like you mentioned, after halfway, we started to work our way back up to the front. But that was a full team effort. You know, my spotter, Jason Hedleski, was on the radio. He said it was like a super speedway race because, you know, they were two and three wide behind me trying to race. And, you know, we were just trying to go as slow as I could, but still trying to keep those guys behind me. So that was a constant battle that race. And then, you know, ultimately being able to come out on top was awesome.
You know, and actually, you know, looking back at the week as a whole, you know what, it was four races in 8 days. You know, of course, in the back of everybody's mind, you know, was a challenge. You know, basically whoever won the first race, you know, they're going to be in a catbird seat. But, you know, you still have the other money up for grabs. But not so much the money, but, you know, what everyone had to look at, you know, was this was a good opportunity, you know, to get points, you know, towards the championship. Because running those four races the way they ran them, and if you have four bad finishes, you know, going into the rest of the season, you know, it's hard to make up points in this series.
Yeah, for sure. It was almost a quarter of our season in 8 days. So we knew it was going to be very important to start off the season strong. And, you know, one bad finish can put you out of the point standings here on the West Coast. And, you know, everyone's so good and so tight that, you know, it's really hard to make up points. But I feel like we've put ourselves in almost the best position we could have. And I feel really confident about moving forward here.
Well, Todd, congratulations again on the, you know, on the three wins, you know, on the, you know, the start of the season. Also, another fact that me and Sharon were talking about, you know, was this was your 19th start, you know, and you got, you know, 10 wins and 19 starts, you know, and I don't think there's ever been a Canon West driver that's ever gone, you know, that many starts, you know, and have had that kind of a record, you know, so, you know, congrats on that too. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Sharon.
That is impressive, Todd, to win 10 races and 19 starts. I don't think that happens very often either, and that is something to be congratulated for. Now, one of the things that is coming up here is the replay of a lot of these races, and I want to get some advice from you to the fans that are going to be watching those replays. What do you think they should be watching for as they're watching those races coming up? What's going to be the biggest thing to watch for?
Like Sal mentioned there, the restarts are always very important and sometimes the most exciting part of the races. And I think that's definitely something you're going to look for, especially in our last race at Irwindale. Me and Chris Eggleston on our green-white checkered, it was the restart that, you know, basically made or break the race. So definitely watch for restarts, and we'll be putting on a good show on them for sure.
Absolutely. And I heard you made an amazing pass back with Chris Eggleston to get back in the lead there. So I'd say that's probably something to watch for as well. Todd, the race is going to be replayed, the last race, the Napa Auto Parts second twin race, is going to be aired. I guess both of those races will be aired Saturday, April 1st. The first one at 4 p.m. Pacific time, but 7 p.m. Eastern, and the second race at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific time. So fans will be able to take a look at that. Next up is going to be Spokane County Raceway on May 13th. What are your thoughts about racing there?
Well, it's a place I've never been to, and I've watched a few videos. It looks pretty wide, and our thought going in there is looks a lot like turns 3 and 4 Evergreen Speedway. So we've got a close idea of what it's like, and I'm really looking forward to going to another new track. I really enjoy going to all these new tracks.
Okay. Well, you are the reigning champion of the Can-Am Pro Series West, and I know you're going to be going after that title again this season. So, again, congratulations to you, Todd, and we hope you'll come back and visit with us again sometime down the road here. I've got a feeling we're going to see some more wins.
Perfect. Thank you. I hope I get to talk to you guys a lot this season.
Okay, Todd. Take care, and we'll look forward to talking to you later.
Yep. All right. Okay.
Good night. All right, that was Todd Gilliland, and he's pretty excited about those wins, Sal.
Oh, yeah, he is. You know what, and he has to be, you know, because it was a very exciting time. And even when I talked to David afterwards, I go, you know, David, I go, the 10,000 is nice. I said, but I know, you know, there's a bigger picture, you know, that you guys are looking at. And, you know, I said, of course, I said, you know, the 100,000 would have been even nicer. But, you know, I said, you know, he got a good jump out on the championship, especially with the strongest Chris is looking this season. You know, and David said the same thing. He goes, you know, Sally, he goes, the 10 grand is nice. He says, but he goes, it's not as nice, you know, seeing him, you know, pick up the wins the way he is, pick up the pole awards, you know, and making it, and more than that, you know, making a name for himself. So I think David was really pleased, you know, that they held him back. You know, and they put him back in the West Series, you know, for one more season, you know, to see, you know, how much more better he could become as a driver.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, too, that, and I didn't do this, but I will now. Todd Gilliland is going to be racing in the Camping World Truck Series this season with Kyle Busch Motorsports. And we're going to be able to see him behind the wheel of NASCAR in the NASCAR Truck Series. So I think that's going to be pretty exciting to watch this season as well.
Oh, yeah, it will. I mean, it's you know what, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a, you know, a good experience all around this season. You know, not that I'm saying this is going to be a make it or break it season, but you know what, this is, you know, they're putting – not that they haven't, they're putting 100% on the line, but you know what, this is, you know, this is a time, you know, for him to really take advantage, you know, of the talent and the, you know, the teamwork, you know, along, you know, with Bill McAnally Racing behind him, you know, to really, you know, make an impact on the sport.
Yep. And we know Todd Gilliland is a very talented driver. I'm pretty sure he's going to, have success again this season. And I know it doesn't come easy. There's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes to make that success happen in addition to Todd's talent. Now, Sal, I know you may have to leave us here, or are you going to be able to stay with us?
No, I got to go. I just seen my crew walk in right now.
Oh, okay. So and are you going to be able to come back, or yay or nay? Do you know?
I'm gonna like all the other times. I'm really gonna try to come back.
Okay. We'll,
you know, and you know, finish out the show.
Okay. Well, we will say adieu to you at this time, with hopes of talking to you again around the 9:30 time frame, and. Sal, thanks for being here. We always appreciate you. I know you got to go, so I'm going to cut it short.
Okay, thank you, Sherry.
Okay, take care.
Okay, goodbye.
Good night. All right, now that's Sal Sagala. He's our co-host. We're kind of making things work on a short-term basis here because he and I both have very hectic schedules right now. Hopefully he'll be able to come back and chat with us a little bit later. But I do have some post-race audio here that we can play in this next half hour. Kyle Larson, how amazing was that? And how great was it to see Kyle Larson win at his home track at Auto Club Speedway this weekend, not just in the NASCAR Cup Series, but in the Xfinity Series, too. He swept the weekend, and we've got the post-race audio here from both of those races with Kyle Larson. Now, the first audio that I'm going to play for you is about 11 minutes or maybe close to 12 minutes between, and it has the post-race audio from Kyle Larson as well as his crew chief, Mike Shiplett. So we're going to go ahead and play that next for our listeners so you can hear Kyle Larson's thoughts after winning the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Auto Club Speedway this weekend. And here we go.
All right, we are with the winning team of the 19th Annual Service King 300, driver and crew chief of the number 42 Ineos Chevrolet for Chip Ganassi Racing. We'll start off with you, Kyle. Outstanding racing at the end of that. So your second win here of Auto Club Speedway. Just maybe talk about the battle with you and Joey at the end.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun there. We had pitted and had only really about a lap or two fresher tires than the rest of the guys in front of us, and was able to catch up to Joey and just try to stay patient behind him, and got by him one time, and he had a run off four, and I went to block him, and he got back to my outside, and then it was tough to catch him again, and then was able to get back by again as soon as the caution came out. Would have liked to have not seen that last caution because I thought, you know, our car was better than Joey's on that longer run, and but we got caution, had a great pit stop, and you know, lined up on the outside row because the 21 had taken two, and I knew Joey was going to be the guy to beat because he was super fast on short runs. So I wanted to line the 21 up in front of him and kind of choke him down because he would probably spin his tires, and yeah, so the 22 had to get by the 18, and then was catching me for sure, and probably another lap. You know, I think he would have gotten me. He was quite a bit better than I was in 1 and 2, and had moved up in 3 and 4, and was catching me. And I think if I would have moved up in 3 and 4, he would have got by me on the bottom. So glad that the run was as short as it was there, and we were able to get our Ineos Chevy into victory lane. You know, Mike Shiplett did a great job all throughout yesterday in practice. We were struggling. He made some good adjustments, got our balance close, and then we started the race off really loose the first run, and then really tight the second run, and then kind of went back and forth there for a little bit, and got the balance better, and just in time for that long run and then the short run there. So happy with how the second half of the race went there, and you know, cool to get back in victory lane here.
Speaking of Mike Shiplett, seemed like he talked about strategy, lots of different variables with the tires and everything that went on today. Can you talk about the race from your vantage point?
Yeah, there was a lot of different strategies going on. With the Ineos Chevrolet, you know, once we got into our fuel window where the yellow came out, and that put us in our fuel window, we had to come in and get fuel just in case the race went green. We could have made it. There was a few up front that would have been questionable. The way the 22 had their incident on pit road, you know, that kind of put them in a position where they could make it, and the 18 was the other one, and he was questionable if he could make it. So, you know, it just opened up for that window, and like Kyle said, we got the car right at that point of the race, and from that stop and the last stop, we just put four tires on it and let the pit crew did the rest, and they did a great job all day today, gaining the spots on pit road every time.
Great. Okay, we'll open up the questions, start over here with Holly, and then we'll move back up here.
Thank you. Holly K, NASCAR.com. It's good to be Kyle Larson this week at California, I guess. What does this do? I understand that they're two completely different races and different sets of competitors, but what does this do for you having an out, you know, winning the pole, winning the race today? Just kind of where are you in terms of getting ready for tomorrow with that kind of a success?
Yeah, you know, it helps confidence for sure. But like you said, they're two totally different races and race cars. They don't drive anything alike at all. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to learn a lot, but, you know, I was able to learn, you know, what lines kind of were good, how to position your car over the seams and stuff like that to help out. So, you know, little stuff I guess I probably already knew, but it's nice to just get a little refresher in that race. And, yeah, but, you know, confidence for sure is high right now with how well we've been running in both series and qualifying well in the cup car and hopefully, you know, run up front again tomorrow.
Go to the front here.
Jim Alexander from the Southern California News Group. To kind of follow up on that question, and something I was going to ask anyway, what has running Xfinity over the last 3-4 years done for you as far as development and as far as being able now to run Cup? I mean, what carries over and what are some of the things that you've learned?
Well, I think early on in my, you know, I've only been racing stock cars. This is my 5th year or whatever. So early on, you know, me doing double duty like I did, you know, in 2014, pretty much every race really helped me get up to speed quicker in the Cup car because, you know, my first year in Cup was only my second time around a lot of those tracks. So there in the beginning, you know, it really helped, I thought. As I've gotten more comfortable with running both cars and I don't know, I guess you learn less because you learn a bunch in the beginning. So I still enjoy running the Xfinity car and always have fun because we always bring good race cars to the track. And you know, I feel like we always have a shot to at least run in the top three. So that makes it enjoyable. And, yeah, you know, just more seat time helps. Really, in any type of car I get in, I feel like the more seat time helps.
Go to Bob, and then we'll go to the Terrace Press.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. After the couple of days that you've had, do you feel any differently going into tomorrow than you have kind of the last 4, 5, 6 Cup races where you've finished second?
So my Cup car in practice is as good as I've felt all year long so far. So, honestly. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think I would be – I didn't think I'd run second in any of those races that I ran second in based off of our happy hour speed. where today in practice and yesterday in qualifying, I feel like we have one of the best cars, maybe the best car on that side. So, yeah, confidence is high. Just got to, you know, not make any mistakes in the race. You know, I caught the wall off of 4 in practice today and got a little bit of right rear damage, but nothing too major. So I just got to make sure I don't do anything stupid tomorrow and be overly aggressive and get in the wall or whatever, make bad decisions, and maybe we can take our car in a victory lane.
Go up to the Terrace.
Yeah, one question for you, Kyle. First of all, congratulations for the win. Wolfgang Munzer from Germany Rennsport Press Agency. I have a question concerning your teammate in Xfinity, Brandon Poole. I had the impression, maybe it's wrong, but I had the impression he was struggling with speed. How identical are your and his cars concerning setup?
They're extremely identical. So the way Kyle drives and the way Brendan drives are very similar, but the cars are built exactly the same. The same guys build them. Same group of guys assemble them and come to the racetrack. Anything that we learn, the 48 can put in their car. Anything the 48 learns, we put in our car, and we work together as a team to give each car the best possible shot each weekend we can.
And Brennan's gotten a lot better, I think, over definitely the second half of last season. He became more aggressive and all that, and his finishes started getting better. And, you know, with me, you know, I get to run more than twice as many laps as he does, you know, before the Xfinity race starts. So I already have a lot more experience going into the race. So I think that's why you see a lot of Cup guys run up front all the time.
Go to the front, and then two questions in the front here.
Okay, Presto, Cars and Competition. Describe your feelings when you touched the wall a few times, and also when you saw Gallagher between you and Logano.
Yeah, I always try and make it a goal not to hit the wall, but in Xfinity, anyways, it's you run the closer you run to the wall in Xfinity, the faster you go. Our car wasn't handling great there in the beginning of the race, and I was just trying to hang on and do what I can. But there was a couple times the first run where I was really loose and I slid and barely nicked the wall. And then on the run where we were tight, you know, I caught it with the right front because we couldn't turn very good. And then you know, late in the race there, you're just trying to get everything you can. You know, when I was racing Joey, and I would just, you know, run in the corner a little too hard or pick up the gas just a little too hard, just trying to get everything I could. So in Xfinity, there's really not a huge penalty to hit the wall. In Cup, though, you touch the wall and your aerodynamics are messed up and you go a lot slower, where a lot of places in Xfinity, I feel like you hit the wall, you go faster. So it's not too concerning to me when I hit the wall. I know Shiplett and Chip and Caitlin give me a bunch of crap when I hit the wall, but I think it's fine. But and then when Gallagher, when I was happy I beat Gallagher off pit road. I was drag racing him and knew he was on two as soon as I could see him on my outside on pit road, so knew he needed to beat him. And then when he was in front of the 22, I felt like I was in a good spot, so I was happy.
Keith Lair, Sangerville Tribune. The pit road speed penalty, but you're able to come right back quickly to get up to the front. Do you think that's maybe something for tomorrow? It's like, hey, anything can go here?
Well, you never want to speed, and I'm not really sure what I did to get the speeding penalty because, I was very consistent on my lights down pit road, and I think it might have been the segment where you leave your pit stall and get to your speed limit, where maybe I'd gone a little bit too far and then was, you know, a little bit too quick in that segment. So, but no, I mean, Xfinity is a lot easier to pass in Cup because it's less competitive throughout the field. You make errors like that in the Cup car, they're hard to recover from. But this is one racetrack where it's so wide and so many different lanes to choose from that you can pass a lot of cars quickly. So, I was able to restart outside the top 20 and get to 12th pretty quick on that one run. And then, back up to the front. Where Joey, I think Joey got a speeding penalty and probably got to the front a lot quicker than I did.
Okay, any other questions for either Kyle or Mike? All right, we'll wrap it up. Congratulations, guys. Thanks for coming.
All right, that was a pretty interesting interview with Kyle Larson immediately after winning the NASCAR Xfinity Series race at Auto Club Speedway this weekend. Also on that audio was Mike Shiplett, his crew chief. Now, coming up next, I'm going to have the post-race audio of Kyle Larson, Chip Ganassi, his team owner, and his crew chief, Chad Johnston. So that segment is a little bit longer. It's about 16 minutes. So we'll go ahead and play that so that you can hear Kyle Larson's thoughts after sweeping Auto Club Speedway this weekend. That was an amazing accomplishment for him. I was so happy to see him do that at his hometown track, where, you know, it kind of means a lot to a driver to win at their hometown track with a lot of family and friends in attendance and a lot of sponsors as well. So really, really great to see that for Kyle Larson this weekend. I'll go ahead and play his Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series post-race comments right now.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Dave.
All right. We will continue with our media availabilities here in advance of Sunday's Auto Club 400 at Auto Club Speedway. We are now joined by the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series points leader, Kyle Larson, driver of the number 42 Target Chevrolet for Chip Ganassi Racing. Kyle, you've also finished second in the three most recent Monster Energy Series races. And I ran the fastest time in practice today, so it looks like you're going to try to end that streak here by visiting Victory Lane when you return to California. And you've also had some success here winning the NASCAR Xfinity Series race back in 2014 for your first win in that series. So why don't you just talk about the strong start to 2017 and coming home to California for this weekend's race.
Yeah, it's definitely been a good start to the year. You know, we've had a shot to win, you know, every race this season. So, yeah, it's been really happy about that. You know, California Speedway, you know, I'm from California, so it's kind of like my home race. You know, it's a long ways from Sacramento, but still feels somewhat like home, getting to see lots of friends and stuff out here. So it would be nice to get a win here, in the second place streak I have going. But, it's been really cool to be contending like we have been. Hopefully we can continue to have speed in our race cars. I've been really happy with everybody at our Target Chip Ganassi Racing Shop, Credit One Bank, everybody that puts all their time and effort into letting Jamie and myself have some fun and go fast and challenge for wins. So been extremely happy and would like to be winning right now, but being the point leader is awesome.
All right, we will open it up to questions for Kyle. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic. We'll start here with Holly and then go over here to the middle.
Holly Kane, NASCAR.com. Hi, Kyle. Hi. I remember your rookie season and you winning the Xfinity race and then coming so close in this race. Now to be points leader, just kind of, you know, what is that like for you? I mean, it's very early in the season and you're already there. You've gotten.
Yeah, it's neat to be leading the points this early in the year. I've won, a handful of championships throughout my racing, but I've never been one to be a points racer or be as consistent as I've been. And going into this year, I made it a goal of mine to be more consistent this year and make less mistakes. And, it's only been four races, but we've been off to a good start on limiting our mistakes and, running up front. And that's helped put ourselves in position to win each race this season. So, like I said, just been really proud of everybody on our race team and happy with, kind of how I've been performing. Been trying to work a little bit harder this year, and it seems to be all be paying off.
I think Holly had a follow-up.
And I just, as a follow-up to that, even with your runner-up finishes or something coming so close as you did at the Daytona 500, you've really had really exhibited just a good, for lack of a word, personality about it. You've handled it all so well coming that close. How do you do that as opposed to, being mad and kicking and, whatever? How are you handling it so well?
Well, I think it's easy to handle it in the Cup Series because it's so extremely tough to run up front. So to be consistently up front is something that's hard to do, or it's been hard for us and our race team. So we've never had this speed before. So it's at least since I've been in the Cup Series. So it's something that's a little bit new and different to me and makes it a whole lot of fun to come to the racetrack. So, I don't know. Seconds are not wins, but they're not thirds either. So it's not too bad.
I'll come here to the middle and then go to Lee.
Kathy Brown, pitting outside the box. Every year you have seemed to improve, and Jamie has always been a contender every single year. What do you think has finally clicked with the two of you this year because you're just doing that much better?
I think our race cars are just, like I said, way better than they've been in a long time. So, I think Jamie and I maybe have added a little bit to it, but I feel like our race cars are just the main reason why we're running a lot better this season. So everybody's so good in this series that a lot comes down to how well your race cars are and how well your race team performs. And we've kind of got it all going on right now, so it's pretty cool to show up to the racetrack. I know Jamie and I are both having a blast right now.
We'll go to Lee.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. Can you talk a little bit about how your relationship with Chad Johnston has evolved over the last, having 1 year under your belt to work with him?
Yeah, I get along great with Chad. We have similar personalities, kind of quiet, but also have a funny personality.
and you know, getting to spend it all of last year with him, and then you know, kind of one full off season together has been good. You know, last year, first half of last year, him and Phil, my engineer, were just I think trying to kind of fill me out and learn me a little bit and learn my communication, how it may be different than other drivers they've been with, and so I think that's why we started the year off slow last season, and then having that full year and all that and getting our cars better throughout the year has really helped for this season. So I know that they can kind of look at notes that they had from the second half of last season and take them to the tracks where we have ran bad or hadn't ran bad last year and be a lot better this time around.
We'll stay over to your right, Kyle, and then we'll come up front.
Robbie May.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop that now because, and the reason being, I realized it's actually pre-race audio that we're listening to from Kyle Larson. He did have some media availability at Auto Club Speedway before the Monster Energy race, the Auto Club 400. So I am now going to move over to, it took me a little bit of time to be able to download that and then upload it here so that we can play this for you. This is the post-race audio from Kyle Larson, Chip Ganassi, and crew chief Chad Johnston. So we'll listen to that now. Okay, here we go.
Okay, well, we're joined by our race-winning owner, Chip Ganassi. Chip, I believe this is your first win at Auto Club Speedway, but you've said it a number of times.
In NASCAR, yes.
In NASCAR, right? Yeah. And coming in here, you said you like winners. And after a number of runner-up finishes, Kyle finally made it to victory lane and pretty dominant performance. Talk about it from your vantage point.
Yeah, first of all, I thought that race was never going to be over there at the end. I was thought we were having a pretty clean day there until the end. And, it's just a culmination of a lot of hard work. I've spoken to a lot of you about just everybody said, what is it this year? What is it? Why are your cars good? Why this? Why that? And, I keep saying in this business, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to be good, and it doesn't take much to be bad. And we just made some small changes over the winter in our organization. We try to look at places that need improvements, and we make improvements. I think obviously a lot of it's down to Kyle. I think he's starting to mature in the series and learning what the cars will accept and what the cars won't accept in terms of a race, putting a weekend together, putting a whole putting together practice, putting together qualifying, putting together race practice, a race, pit stop after pit stop after pit stop, keeping your head in the game. I think he's matured a lot in that manner, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah. Great, thank you, Chip. We'll open up to questions for Chip. Go to Holly and then up here.
Okay. Holly Kane, NASCAR.com. Hey, Chip, congratulations.
Thank you.
Could you also speak about that it's not, Kyle winning is huge, but Kyle and Jamie, both of your teams, have done so well this year, and today was another example of that, but
yes.
It's been the whole organization.
Thank you. Yeah, I think, with Jamie was sixth today, right? And sixth? Yeah. And can't say enough about, it's hard sometimes when you have a group of so many people involved in these teams, so many people back in Charlotte, back at the home base, putting the cars together, building our own chassis, that was the subject of a lot of talk the last few weeks, finish fab, on the shake rig, in the wind tunnel. It takes so many people and so many long, long, hard hours. And you like I said earlier, you make little, it just takes little changes. And little changes can, like I said, take you to the promised land. They can take you to the day of reckoning too, And I think that the fact, it couldn't be prouder. Every team owner wants their cars, they want their cars, to be like this on the track, not one in the front, one in the back, so that's really rewarding from a team point of view. I think it validates the way that Max and Chad and Matt run the team and Tony, the way they run the team. I think that sort of validates their MO, if you will. Yeah.
Go up in the front here.
Okay, Presto Cars and Competition. Congratulations, as
thanks,
always.
Dave.
You've always excelled in no matter what kind of racing you've done,
mm-hmm.
and as a race driver, too. Did you anticipate that the car was that good that he could do a clean sweep this weekend like he did? And how did you feel when that last caution came out and he came in for tires?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I forget what was it the last caution he came for tires? I think it was two cautions from the end. Maybe he came for tires.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, I did not have the nerve to make that call. I would never have, that's why there's guys that do that way better than me. I used to do that in my younger days, you know, run the cars and that, but I don't do that anymore for that reason. And that was the winning call. I mean, that was obviously the winning call. And so my hat's off to Chad Johnson for making that call. What was the rest of the question? I'm sorry.
Did you expect there to be such a clean sweep this weekend?
No. Nobody ever expects it. I do know that I think when Kyle comes back to California, he's got a little more spark in his step. You know, I mean, it's kind of his, you know, I wouldn't call this his home track, but at least it's probably, you know, one of the tracks that's closest to his home. And he's got a lot of fans here in California, obviously, you know, from Northern California. But, I think he likes this place. I think he, you know, this, Michigan. I mean, he likes a lot of places, as you've seen the last few weeks. I think he excels a little more here. And I couldn't be happier because I think early in his career, the bigger tracks, he took a little bit of, it was a little bit of a learning curve. You know, some of the more high-speed places, he went through a bit of a learning curve that I think, none of us, let's say he went through a learning curve. A little more than he did on a short track. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. As he was going through the learning curve, was there ever a point where you thought, would you learn faster, or is he ever going to learn?
Yeah, no, I don't think, Bob. I think, I think I was talking to someone this morning about that, how, you know, everybody wants to compare these drivers coming up to Jeff or to Tony or to, you know, this guy, that guy, whoever they want to compare to. And, you know, they always say, well, Jimmy Johnson only won one Xfinity race, you know, or something. I mean, everybody's got these sort of little one-liners that there's no answer to, and they want to compare everybody. And I think today you have to look at these guys coming into the sport in you have to look in their totality, where you have to, you know, you have to look at their situation. You got to look at who the team is, who's working on the car, who's engineering the cars, who's doing the pit stops. It's not just an automatic come in and, you know, 100 races later you're winning races on a regular basis. I just think that takes a little more education than that today. You know, I mean, you have to peel a little more of the onion back to get to that kind of analysis today. You have to look more in the totality of the whole situation these young guys come in at. If that, you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The big onion.
Yes, the big onion these days, getting bigger. Yes. Yes.
John Harville with PopularSpeed.com. Chip, I was just wondering, how much do your IndyCar drivers pay attention to the NASCAR side?
Yeah, they do. It's all one team. You know, they're all, you know, tweeting each other and texting each other and congratulations, and it goes all ways on the team. You know, to the sports cars, to the IndyCars, and NASCAR, they're all three of them are, it's really nice because they get I think there's a lot of speed in that, if you will. You know, having teammates, you know, you have a question in the, are you going to get an honest answer from people? You know what I mean? And you know, you sort of have a little bit of best practices come into play, you know, that I think there's a lot of speed in that. I think the other teams learn from each other. The drivers learn from each other. Maybe they don't learn how to drive at, you know, California Speedway in a stock car, but they learn lots of other things. And I think they all play off one another and they motivate each other. Certainly.
Gentleman in the right.
Chip,
yes.
Mike Arthur, Sports Life Magazine. You've had a lot of great drivers who've driven for you over the
mm-hmm.
years. How would you rate these two who've just had an amazing start to the season?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to say that, that they're I don't know, with Jamie, I mean, look, he's proven himself on the, you know, at Daytona and the Brickyard, those kind of races. I think with Kyle, he's just, you know, I don't think anybody knows. I mean, I think the runway is, you know, the runway is, he's got a lot of runway and a lot, you know, we didn't have the engine spooled up yet. And we got a long, long runway to go. So, I mean, I think he's just scratching the surface in terms of what he's capable of. You know, I have no idea what he's capable of. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Yeah.
Any questions for the media center? How about the Terrace Press? Skybox Press? Okay, we have one more wrap it up here, and then we'll welcome the race winning driver and crew chief.
Chip, there he is. Dick and Ware, the Motorsports Report. Two-part thing. We were talking about speed and your teams and stuff. So in a situation when overall your whole race team, do Mike Hall and like Chris Simmons, do they all talk to these guys? And
lots of interaction between Mike and Max and the engineers in both places. And, you know, they like I said, it's something that they sort of feed off each other and develop a best practices situation.
Now, here's the second part of this question. Mm-hmm. If one of these guys came to you, like Kyle, and said, hey, that car Scott Dixon's got looks kind of fun. Could I do some laps in that at Indy? I mean, I run around the brickyard. I know
May's
the track.
May's only a couple months away. So.
Yeah, could I,
you
could I drive that car?
One cup race, now I got two.
What would you tell him? What would you tell him if one of your guys or Scott wanted to drive?
They're always all the cars are available to all the guys to drive anytime they want. You know, I mean, they know that. And, I mean, you know, it's a – In terms of, you know, taking a guy, you know, to the Indianapolis 500 or something like that, that's another story. But, I mean, sure, if they want to get in, absolutely. No reason why any of them couldn't get in any of the cars at a test or, you know, someplace they like. You know, sure. Yeah.
Test would be fun to see him in a...
Sure.
I'd love
I think it's, I think, it, you know, whenever he's ready. Yeah. Whenever he says he's in, just show up. You're in. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chip. Obviously, right. You're welcome to stick around.
See
you. But see you. Now we are joined by our race photo op. Okay, we're joined by our race winning driver and crew chief.
We may.
See ya.
Kyle Larson and Chad Johnson. Kyle, this is Kyle's second career victory. Kyle, we'll start with you after a string of runner-up finishes. You're in victory lane, outstanding start to the season, only the second driver to win from the pole here in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, and, of course, retain the points lead in the Monster Energy Series. Talk about just the dominant effort today.
Yeah, it was definitely a great run for us. We were able to lead a lot of laps, win that first stage, and then I made a mistake on pit road and slid through, well, not through my box, but through my sign and was too close to the wall on the left side, and the jack couldn't get up as fast, so our stop was really slow on that one. I lost some spots, and was able to get right to second, though, on the restart, and just kind of abused my tires that run and fell back to third or fourth, and then got back to second for the end of that second stage, and had a good restart there to start the final stage and got out to the lead and kind of, you know, try to run my own pace and take care of my tires, and actually pulled away from Truex quite a bit, and then he had gained a lot on us on that green flag stop. I probably came to pit road a little slow just to be safe because I had the stop before. I came in really hot and almost sped. So he closed it on us there and then was really good when we left for that run. And I had to battle him and he got by me and I was able to, you know, get back by him and then kind of pull away a little bit. And then that's when all the cautions started coming out and you had some decent restarts there at the end, but still had more cautions and had to actually come back down pit road, put four new tires on, and get some more good restarts. So the pit calls were great. The pit crew did an amazing job, and you know, a fairly clean race for us. So lots of fun to be Kyle Larson right now. Our race cars are really fast in Xfinity and Cup, so it's a blast to show up to the racetrack every week.
And Chad, Chip mentioned about your race-winning call of calling in Kyle for tires when the second and third stayed out. Can you talk about that decision and the race-winning move that was?
Yeah, I mean, in general, at a place like this where you have a lot of tire fall-off, it makes that decision a little bit easier. You get two or three laps on your tires, you're kind of at a disadvantage. I always try to to put him in the position to be the aggressor. I don't feel like there's anybody that's going to be any better on a restart than what he will be, especially if I can give him tires. So we had a fast enough car. I didn't figure that many cars would stay out. Only three stayed out, which gave us the top in fourth. So I figured that would work out pretty well for us. And as usual, you get a lot of late cautions here. You know, it went green for the most part. I think at one point we had 18 cars on lead lap. So the segments definitely brought some something different to it and brought some more interest and more cars back on the lead lap. But at the end of the day, you know, we just had a fast enough car to do what we needed to do.
Great. Thank you, Chad. Okay, we'll open it up to questions. We'll start up at the front with Kate. Go to Bob.
Back. Okay, Presto, Cars and Competition. What did you think when that last caution came out? What were your exact thoughts and what were your planning in your head, not going with what Chad was saying, but what were you personally thinking?
I was thinking, I'm really good friends with Ricky, but I was thinking, dang it, Ricky, that's the second time you spun late in a race and I've been leading. But no, it was, I was just trying to stay calm and you know, focus on, you know, what was ahead of me and, you know, what was upcoming on the restart. So it seems like every time I get to the lead of one of these, you know, NASCAR races, cautions always fall. And I'm always having to fight people off on restarts. And a lot of times I've gotten beat, but today we did a good enough job to hold the lead. So stayed focused and stayed calm and had a good result.
Bob? Behind you.
Bob Parker, ESPN. You said it's great to be Kyle Larson right now. Why now? Why, and can you? How do you keep it up for another 31 races?
Well, I'm just I'm really, you know, fortunate to be driving really fast race cars right now. Our cars are by far as good as they've ever been, and really good at every racetrack right now. So. In both series, I feel like I have a shot to win every time I go to the racetrack. So that's always a lot of fun. That's always something I've hoped for to get to a point of that in my NASCAR career. And you know, in the past, you know, I had racetracks where I knew I'd be good at. But right now, we're going to, you know, some tracks that aren't great for me and run out front. So it's a lot of fun to you know, have that confidence in the race team and be able to go to the track and fight hard and go for wins.
How do you keep it up?
How do we keep it up? Chad'll give us some fast race cars and everybody at the race shop will keep finding speed and downforce and everything that goes along with going fast and hopefully that's what it takes to, you know, be the point leader throughout the rest of the year.
Let's keep it over here to Brant.
Right. Brant James, USA Today Sports. Now that you've ended that second place run with the win, willing to admit there might have been a little frustration there or just culminating with the win, that seems like less of a lost opportunity, that three-race stretch?
You know, no, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of frustration. Really, my frustration last week was that, you know, I felt like I was in the best spot to win and just made, you know, I guess a little mistake there. So I wasn't, you know, frustrated with the consecutive seconds. I just was frustrated that, you know, I was confident going to the last restart and didn't get it done. But to come back, you know, strong this week and get the pole and get the race win is it's great to rebound from a, you know, mistake like that.
Let's go to Daryl and then we'll go back here.
Fox Sports at the buzzer. This is for both of you. I found the analogy of bridesmaids to be kind of ridiculous, and now that you won, can you comment on it? And is it the weather? Is it In-N-Out Burger? What happened this weekend for both of you that tied it in?
I came out four and told them to go ahead and put the bridesmaid's dress back in the closet because we weren't putting that one on again. So I don't know. I mean, I love racetracks like this. It's a big, fast track with multiple grooves. It really suits my driving style, and you know, I keep saying it, but our race cars are just really, really fast right now. So obviously the food and the friends out here are nice, but having good race cars is good for anything.
You go to In-N-Out?
McDonald's is a great sponsor of ours, so got some Big Macs.
Okay, right here.
Kathy Brown, Pitting Outside the Box. Expand a little more on that final restart. I mean, at any time were you worried that maybe Brad or Clint, who hasn't been to Victory Lane in a while, was going to catch you, and what could happen if they did?
I knew Brad was probably going to be, well, him and Martin I thought were going to be the two that I would have to fight off. I was happy that Martin was pushing me down the front stretch, but I was also a little nervous at the same time because if he pulled off really quick and side drafted me and slowed my momentum down on entry, that maybe he could carry that momentum past me off of two, and then I would be fighting, you know, Brad. Both of us would be fighting to get past Martin. So, you know, thankfully it didn't work out that way, and we were able to get the win.
Gentleman in the back.
Elliot Stern, Santa Maria Times. You swept the weekend, qualifying yesterday's race today. How surprised are you, and how pleased are you with the sweep?
I'm more surprised that I won the race yesterday than I am I won the race today. I was very confident going into today's race. I knew our race car was extremely good throughout the practices yesterday. In the Xfinity race, I, you know, struggled in practice. And then struggled in the first half of the race. So didn't really expect to win that one, but we were able to find the speed at the end to do it. But, yeah, it was a solid, solid weekend. You know, definitely the best of my NASCAR career.
Go to Jerry, then Bob, then Holly.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTires.net, Performance Racing Network. You've got a sizable lead in the points. That doesn't mean a lot right now, but it's got to make you feel good. More importantly, you are probably locked in. For the playoffs, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. You know, I felt like we would have the speed to make the playoffs anyways going into the year. But getting all these stage wins and then playoff, you know, bonus points is huge to, you know, coming into the playoffs. So, hopefully we can get more stage wins and get more race wins to kind of pad ourselves a little bit when it gets to playoff time and can, you know, use those when we need to in the playoffs.
Bob.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. I saw you tweet about Dave Steele last night. How well did you know him? And, you know, I don't know whether you all sprint car guys talk about it at all this morning, or did you have any contact with anybody from USAC today?
A little bit. And you know, I grew up watching, like, Thursday Night Thunder and stuff like that. And, you know, Dave Steele was always the man when it came to pavement racing. And, you look at, like, him and Bobby Santos, they were, you know, the two pavement specialists that were the best. So I got to watch him win a lot on TV. And then, you know, I didn't know him personally very well, but I was, you know, lucky enough to be teammates with him one time at New Smyrna when I ran a USAC midget race there. And he was a very quiet guy, and I just remember it being like a honor to be a teammate with him that night, because he was so good at pavement racing, and you know, New Smyrna was a pavement track, and I was confident in that because I knew he was going to have some input in on what our, you know, baseline setup was going to be for that weekend, and knew we were going to be good and got the win. So that was cool to get to spend a little bit of time with him that weekend, but definitely a tragedy. You know, he's probably not very well known, but to the open wheel community, he's one of the greatest ever USAC racers. So, you know, feel terrible for his family and all of the racing community. So our thoughts and prayers go out to them. And, it just sucks.
Holly?
Do you have a question?
Okay. And we'll go over here.
Yeah, Kyle. Jim Alexander from the Southern California News Group. Is there a certain comfort factor that develops the more you're in the car, the more you're on these tracks? And has that kind of contributed to the streak that you're on right now?
Yeah, every time you go back to a track for the, well, what would now be, you know, probably my seventh or eighth time to these places, it helps. You know, experience is a great thing, and you know, when you have good race cars to go along with it, it makes it even better, and you can learn more. So Fontana's a track that really suits me though, so you know, hopefully we can learn a lot throughout the rest of the season at all these other racetracks and get some more wins.
Okay, any questions from the Terrace Press? Skybox Press? Media Center? All right. Well, congratulations, guys. Great job. That was
Thank
awesome.
You.
All right. That was post race audio from Kyle Larson, Chip Ganassi, and Chad Johnston after winning the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Fontana Auto Club Speedway. So pretty interesting comments there. There was a reference to a huge loss in the racing world. Dave Steele from the Sprint Car Series passed away this weekend after a horrific crash in Florida. And Kyle Larson does discuss that a little bit and what that driver meant to him as this huge loss. And we certainly extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Dave Steele. But there were some other great comments that came out of that post-race interview as well. And I think Kyle Larson has a lot of confidence in his team. Chad Johnson and Chip Ganassi obviously have a lot of confidence in Kyle Larson. So I thought there were some great comments there, and I hope people take the time to listen to those comments. A couple of things that I did want to kind of bring up as well with regard to the Xfinity Series race. There were, again, great finish between Kyle Larson. Joey Logano came in second. Kyle Busch came in third, followed by Eric Jones and William Byron. Both of those drivers, Eric Jones and William Byron, you know, two drivers that are racing in the Xfinity Series this season and doing a tremendous job. Really fantastic racing from both of them. To be in the top five, I think, is quite a big accomplishment. Another driver who's done really well this year in the Xfinity Series, Darrell Wallace Jr. with a sixth-place finish. Really great to see that for him. Elliott Sadler came in seventh. Brennan Poole, a nice eighth-place finish. Justin Allgaier, who won last week, brought home a ninth-place finish, followed by Ty Dillon in 10th place. So that is your top 10 for the Xfinity Series race at Fontana. Now, just a note that I wanted to point out, Kyle Larson, we know, won that race. It was his sixth Xfinity Series victory. Before the green flag waved, though, in this race, the number one car received a penalty because the crew chief missed the driver-crew chief meeting. So that's why they had to drop to the rear of the field for the start of that race. There were seven cautions for 43 laps throughout the race, and then there were 18 lead changes among just six drivers. So that was pretty interesting. Now, leading the Sunoco Rookie of the Year title right now in the Xfinity Series is William Byron, and he's leading significantly with 72 points over second place Daniel Hemric at 55 points. So really great job again this season so far for William Byron, who took the Camping World Truck Series by storm last year. So those are great finishes, great stat for William Byron. Kyle Busch has the most pole awards, followed by William Byron, Brandon Jones, and Joey Logano, who all have one pole award to Kyle Busch's two. So, you know, that's just some stats there for everybody with regard to, let's see, the points awards. Elliott Sadler is still leading the points right now in the Xfinity Series, followed by William Byron in second, Justin Allgaier is third, Ryan Reed having a great run in fourth place, Darrell Wallace Jr. is fifth. The next five to round out the top ten include Brennan Poole, Daniel Hemric, Michael Annett, Matt Tift, Blake Koch, and Dakota Armstrong actually is the 11th driver. So really fantastic points with regard to what's going on in the Xfinity Series. Another point of note here that I kind of noticed and wanted to bring out, the Xfinity Series driver with the most stage wins is Elliott Sadler. In fact, he's the only driver in the Xfinity Series competition who has two stage wins. None of the other drivers have any stage wins yet. So that's something to watch in these upcoming races. Also, playoff points. Drivers with playoff points right now, Elliott Sadler has two, but I think it's of note that both Ryan Reed, let me see if I'm reading this right. I want to make sure I'm reading this right. Yeah, Justin Allgaier and Ryan Reed both have five playoff points that are helping them in their point standing. So that's going to be pretty fantastic, again, to keep your eye on. The two drivers, of course, that have qualified for the Xfinity Series playoff are Justin Allgaier and Ryan Reed. So just some notes there in the Xfinity Series. Moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series, top 10 drivers here include Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, Clint Bowyer, Martin Truex Jr. came in fourth, followed by Joey Logano, who finished fifth. Now, of those drivers, I think a big point that I want to bring out here, Kyle Larson has one stage one win with two stage two wins. But Brad Keselowski, he has no stage one wins, but he has 10, count them, 10 stage two victories. So that is huge for Brad Keselowski in this NASCAR Cup Series. So those are big points that he's getting for that accomplishment. Clint Bowyer has six stage one points, and I should say these are points, not wins. I've been saying wins, and I mean these are points. And he has four stage two points. Martin Truex has two stage one points and one stage two point. Now, another big hit here is Joey Logano. He has seven stage one points, followed by eight stage two points. So Team Penske is really winning big on this stage competition that's taking place in the NASCAR Cup Series. Another driver, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised by this, he's finished sixth at Auto Club Speedway this weekend. Jamie McMurray has four stage one points, followed by six stage one points. Daniel Suarez is seventh. Kyle Busch is eighth. He has five stage one points with seven stage two points. And Ryan Blaney, nine big points for stage one. That's a big hit for him. He's ninth in the race here. And then rounding up that top ten is Chase Elliott. And Chase Elliott has some stage points, too, with three coming both from stage one and stage two. Now, in this particular race, playoff points were awarded to Kyle Larson and to Martin Truex Jr. They're the only ones who received playoff points. So just something to be aware of there. Also in this race, seven cautions for 27 laps. And there were 17 lead changes among eight drivers in the Cup Series race. Now, Kyle Larson won that race, the Auto Club 400. It was his second victory in 116 Monster Energy races, Cup races. Prior to the green flag start, there were some cars that had to start at the rear of the field, including the number 88 and the number 27. They both had unapproved tire changes. The number 38 went to a backup car, and the number 33 had a transmission change. So all those cars had to start at the back of the field in Sunday's Auto Club 400. The Rookie of the Year standings, Daniel Suarez leads that with 59 points, followed by Eric Jones with 53 points. So that, I think, could kind of heat up as the season progresses here. There are four drivers here who have one pole each, Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano. So some really great things going on there. As far as the point standings, it's really great to see Kyle Larson is leading the point standings, 243 points over second place Chase Elliott at 214. We've got a couple of relatively new people into the Sprint Cup or the Monster Energy Series leading these points right now, which is pretty fantastic. Martin Truex Jr. in third, followed by Brad Keselowski in fourth, and Joey Logano in fifth. Rounding out the top ten, Jamie McMurray, Ryan Blaney, Clint Bowyer eighth, Kevin Harvick ninth, and Kyle Busch has now moved into 10th place in the series point standings. Now, up next is Martinsville. Xfinity Series is going to be taking some time off this weekend, so they will not be racing. But we will see two great races with the Camping World Truck Series coming back into action at Martinsville this weekend. They'll be racing the Alpha Energy Solutions 250. That race will take place on Saturday, April 1st at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and will be broadcast on Fox. Again, that's the Alpha Energy Solutions 250 for the Camping World Truck Series. The STP 500 will be run on Sunday with the NASCAR Cup Series at Martinsville. That's Sunday, April the 2nd, and that race will take place at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. It's kind of interesting that the Camping World Truck Series will be on the Fox station and on the affiliate for the Cup Series on Fox Sports 1. But definitely mark that down on your calendars because those are a couple of really big races. Martinsville always has great racing. It's going to be interesting to see how the stage racing plays out at Martinsville. I think we've seen some great results from it so far. It's going to be fun to see how that plays out at Martinsville, which is a short track. Similar to a little bit shorter than Phoenix, so we've seen some short track racing, but we're going to have to see how that plays out at Martinsville. Always fun to watch. So I made it to the pretty much to the close of the show here tonight. I want to thank a special thank you to Todd Gilliland for being our guest tonight. I know he is probably exhausted after winning three consecutive races in the K&N Pro Series, starting on Thursday night at Kern County Raceway and following up with the doubleheader on Saturday at Irwindale Speedway. Those were big wins, giving him a $10,000 bonus from the Napa 500 Challenge that they put out for the first four races of this season. So again, thanks and congratulations to Todd Gilliland for being here tonight, and also to my co-host Sal Segala. He was able to join us for the first half hour. We always appreciate what he does for the show. And again, I just want to let our listeners know Sal and I both have kind of difficult schedules right now. That's why the show has been modified somewhat during this interim period of time. We hope to eventually be back to our normal routine, and we're working hard to make that happen. But in the interim, we really appreciate all of our listeners kind of hanging in there with us and tuning in to Fan for Racing Radio every Monday night as we try to bring you drivers from the sport, especially those that are winning. We try to get their comments when we can do it. We like to have drivers on the show live, but when that's not possible, we're lucky enough to be able to draw from NASCAR Media the post-race audio that we can play for you so that you can hear those post-race comments right here on Fan for Racing Radio. So, again, thanks for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we hope you'll tune in again next Monday night for Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. We always post our guest lineup over at fanforracing.com. We also post some articles from the NASCAR Wire Service of things for the upcoming races. And again, this is Do Not Miss Racing. And I just want to remind listeners also that the races that Todd Gilliland won will be coming up this week on NASCAR on NBC Sports Network. So definitely check your local listings. I know that the races, the Twin 100s, are going to be broadcast on Saturday. So check your local listing for NBCSN. Should be around 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And then I'm guessing on Thursday is when we'll see last Thursday's race at Kern County Raceway. And again, check your local listings for those times. All right, we'll call that a wrap on Fan for Racing Radio for tonight, and we'll look forward to being back on the airwaves next Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great race week, everybody, and take care.